Hi everyone, welcome to Cyclecast 3. It's been a little bit longer between the two editions than I'd hoped, but plenty going on. Not a lot in the cycling arena, I have to say, but plenty going on and plenty to catch up on. Interesting times if you are a bikie. We're getting to that time of year where cycling suddenly becomes a bit of a challenge, and we've got a cold snap coming up. Last year that was particularly unpleasant, I'm sure for all of you who enjoy the sport. It wasn't particularly easy to do much cycling, so fair play to you if you toughed it out in the snow. I'm not confident how much of that I'll be doing this winter. Not a lot really to report in the professional cycling world. Some ridiculous stuff on the Team Sky website, where they've hosted their own Team Sky Rider of the Year award, which I found particularly bizarre. That their own riders were the only people that could qualify for this particular honour, and the winner declared was Edward Bosenhagen. I would say of Team Sky, but it's obvious. Well done to him. But to be honest, looking through Sky's roster, and I know we've covered them quite a lot, and we've talked about them for a not inconsiderable period, there wasn't really that much to choose from, was there, in terms of outstanding displays from them. The only other real Team Sky news that I can give you is the fact that there's another book out about Bradley Wiggins, a photo book. If you go to roadcyclinguk.com, there was a link on the homepage there, so you can enjoy a little bit of photo information on Brad. So, good publication by the looks of things. In terms of good publications as well, I just wanted to touch briefly on the Pro Cycling Photo Yearbook. Now, a lot's been said about pro cycling, especially on various forums. People saying how good, bad, indifferent that publication is versus Cycle Sport versus Cycling Plus. Various times I've kind of subscribed to all of them, but Pro Cycling seems to be the one that I've stuck with the most. I don't know. Difficult to say how well or badly any publication covers drugs, doping, the various negative aspects of the sport, but I think that Pro Cycling does as good a job as any. And I was interested to see the concept of a yearbook, and you could maybe go back to the likes of the Rafa brand for inspiration, the much maligned at times Rafa brand for some inspiration. On a yearbook, their Ruleur yearbook and their various arty photographic journals. Now, I thought £8, it's not an inconsiderable amount of money for a magazine at this time of year, but I was really pleased when I took delivery. Nice hardbound, some amazing, amazing images in there, and I basically sat reading it saying to the missus, next time you're out with a camera and I'm riding a Sportif or a Club 10, try and get an image of me like that. They're some fantastic images and a little bit of commentary, not too much commentary, but absolutely well worth the money. So a thumbs up really and a tick. As I say, Pro Cycling have been much maligned in the past, have taken a fair bit of stick, but on this one, you've got to say a real hearty well done to them on that. Really good. Okay, so we've had not much more in the way of correspondence on the which team would you like to be in, so we'll leave that running for a little while, maybe till the next edition. Obviously, there'll be some changes in teams by the time that comes around, so it could be the case that you might be going from Cervelo to Garmin or whatever in your fictional transfer, interestingly. So I just wanted to touch basically on a little bit of history. We talked a little bit on the first podcast about where I'd come from, and that's a footballing podcast, shall we say. In fact, a footballing podcast that Hey, I wish I was still doing it because my team won for the first time in bloody ages since Noah was still a trainee carpenter at the weekend. So well done to Hutchie and the lads down at Weymouth FC. Yeah, you did hear me right. Brilliant stuff, lads. So well done. But where did I come from? And I've had a bit of correspondence with one or two listeners to the podcast. And there are listeners out there in Germany and Holland and America. So hello to you all. I've had a little bit of correspondence with one or two. So I just wanted to talk about the fact that where I kind of got into cycling from, and that dates back to the late 80s, and actually maybe 1987 was the first Tour de France that I can physically remember, and I didn't really have that much more than a passing interest. My dad absolutely loved it, but I knew that an English-speaking rider had won in Stephen Roach. The following year, didn't follow much of the tour in 88 while it was on, but got into it really into the last week, and then recorded the highlight show on Channel 4, which in those days was presented by Richard Keys, bringing it back to association football. And absolutely, that autumn and that winter wore the DVD tape out. I knew absolutely everything about the Stage 4 win by a Cassio da Silva of the Cass team. I sat and watched time after time Sean Kelly, after his crash and his broken collarbone, I think, being loaded into his team car in tears. And I absolutely begged for a PDM jersey that Christmas to go with my new Rally Kellogg's Pro Tour, I think it was, maybe, that I was riding at that stage. Absolutely, absolutely loved it. Around that kind of time as well, I discovered that there were more races than just the Tour de France in the calendar. Looking in the local John Menzies, as it was at the time, finding Winning, which a few of the older listeners will remember. Winning was a Winning Brackets Bicycle Racing Illustrated, which was a great magazine, easily the equal and greater of pro cycling, cycle sport, and cycling plus roll together. It kind of went off the rails and then vanished. It became an American scene magazine at one point, and that's kind of when it lost its aura, maybe, and its brilliance. So and I remember seeing pictures of the 1989 Giro de Lombardia with I think it was Charlie Motte. There was a great picture of him. Also a picture of him and maybe even Laurent Fignon riding the Grand Prix de Nation time trial. And so the next season, as we rolled into 1989, I started to get a little bit more interested. And I wouldn't say that I followed the Spring Classics avidly. But by the time the Tour de France came around, I was ready and poised. And hey, there's not many people who have been lucky enough to have their first day in, day out experience of the Tour. As a 15-year-old and have it as the 1989 tour, which remains probably the greatest cycling experience that I'd certainly enjoyed. I had a huge poster of Greg LeMond on my wall from the Orsier-Merlet time trial, which I believe was won by Stephen Rooks, but it was enough for LeMond to get back into possession of the yellow jersey. Fantastic picture, gold iridium lens in his Oakley razors, as they were at the time. And the ADR kit, the fluorescent yellow and blue, was reasonably similar to one of the area's local clubs. Well, I did actually go on to ride for him after a while, but not in that period, that's for sure. So I was fantastically lucky with that and enjoyed that 89 tour. And what more can you say about that final Sunday? It was 27 minutes, 58 seconds of absolute TV magic. Unfortunately, I've got it on VCR, but not on DVD, and I've not got a video player anymore, but I'm sure I'll be rectifying that, and I'm sure if I really desperately wanted to see that last few hundred metres, I'd be able to do it on YouTube. So in terms of my cycling education, there I was hooked in, and from that period on, I kind of saved up, got my first race bike, which was a Dawes. Rode a few time trials for the local club, Fenland Clarion, and took on from there, really. The next real date with Destiny was 1991, when a round of the Kellogg's Criterium series came to Peterborough, and members of Fennel & Clarin were lucky enough to marshal it, and I was exceedingly lucky because I got the one of the jobs on the start-finish straight. I wasn't particularly proud of my long, curly, permed hair in a little elastic band ponytail, but I was delighted to be there in full kit, posing in front of the kids from sixth form with a huge pair of sunglasses dug into my hair, resting on the handlebars of my bike. Malcolm Elliott was fresh back from the Vuelta and did a good ride that day. I don't know whether he won or whether Chris Lillywhite might have won for the Banana team, but that kind of set us off. And as a group of sort of late teenage lads, we'd be around following the Milk Race. We'd be around following the Kellogg's Pro Tour. We'd be enjoying quite a lot of great cycling and great events. So fantastic times and great memories, which was why when the brilliant Prendas Ciclismo website, which you can find at www.prendas.co.uk, brought out a retro replica Rally Banana jersey, I was all over it, and I had the first order placed in the UK. Great memories, evocative that it brings back. After that, for me, it kind of moved on to the Tour de France coming to the UK. And it's ironic, I was actually driving past Andover the other day, which was where my first experience of the Tour de France came, on a sat in the middle of a roundabout with my gran in a wheelchair in Andover as the peloton split in either direction. I was kind of Claudio Chiappucci mad at the time, so I had those awful denim Carrera shorts, which didn't really go with my maroon and gold Fenland team kit, but hey, I didn't care. I thought it looked funky. And so my relationship with the tour, kind of carried on. I went to Paris for the end. There was a period of falling out. I had three jobs one summer to pay for a bike, and then when I ended up settling down with my then girlfriend, we needed a sofa, so that bike got sold. And I think, as with many riders and enthusiasts, the Festina affair broke my heart to an extent where I kind of drifted away from the sport for a little while. I played football, I played cricket. Deep down in my heart of hearts, though, I was always yearning for a bit of the open road. So it came sort of 2001-2002-ish. I started following the tour avidly again. By 2004, I'd got a bike, albeit a £200 entry-level racer from Decathlon, which is still going. Someone I know who lives in Amsterdam still rides that. And we had some great times again, riding some time trials. I'd ridden for other clubs, but I was happy to be back with Fenland, and where I remain to this day. So brilliant times. Things like the Tour Series coming to my hometown of Peterborough have been fantastic, because that's given us an opportunity, all the local club riders, to ride on the closed roads in front of our own crowds in support events, which has been marvellous. The Rutland Mountain Cycle Classic has been a bonus as well. I loved riding the Sportif for that. And obviously we've talked about the Sportif. Talked about the Sportif scene. I've been really blessed as well to have gone to a couple of stages of the Tour de France. And for my stag party this year, I was fortunate enough to ride some of the roads that I'd stood at the side of watching the tour around Girona in the summer of 2009. So to actually have written Cavi's God on the Road and then ride up the same climbs was brilliant. The tour was slightly quicker up than I was. That surprised me in a way. And that kind of brings us spinning up to date, really. It'd be interesting to know any of you guys' sort of cycling history and how long you've stuck with it and what you've wanted to do. I'm really looking forward to the next period of kind of changing maybe the way that cycling goes. When I was younger, it was all about time trials. It was all about testing, and it was all about up early on a Sunday morning and zooming up and down dual carriageways. Now people are absolutely loving the opportunity to ride in a different way, and mass participation events are really the way to go. And I'm looking forward to No Excuses in March, a local one at Grafham Water. So it'd be great if any of you guys are along, to have a chat, and we can talk Cyclecast. Okay, well, that pretty much wraps us up for this week. Still hoping to get the guy from Yaxley Riders on, so we can have a little chat and just a little bit of a talk, saying to give you a bit of a lowdown really on how that group has evolved, because we're all members of different clubs, but we all live in the same area of the city where there's not a dedicated club run. So it would be great to share with you guys how we've actually changed that and made that happen. So hopefully that'll be next time, won't it, Steve? Yeah, it will be. Until then, have a great time. I'm off to do the ironing, unfortunately. Until next time, take care.